Shalom. Good. Got a response there. Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who join us for worship on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and for those watching online, this service originates from the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And along with the folks that are able to join us in person, we welcome all of you to worship today. I'm joined by our worship team, production staff, and we welcome you wherever you are and whoever God has created you to be along this journey we call life. Our special musicians today are Jen Hall, Jen Yoakum, and the Mayflower Chancel Choir. Our liturgist is Lorraine Finneson. A big thank you to so many of you who pitched in to help us as the Mayflower Church hosted the Michigan Conference of Congregational Christian Churches this weekend. And I'm here to tell you, and I trust this will be reinforced today, that it was a rousing success. So, I'm going to take a risk today of leaving somebody out, and if you are, then I really need to hear it from you later on, okay? So here it is. I would like to thank a host of people. Bill and Sue Baldwin, Kay Bongard, Betty Briggs, Lorraine and Kim Finneson, Mariana Foster, Barb and Jerry Fuller, Lisa Jones, Meredith and Roger Kennedy, Wendy Cushion, Rilla McCarris, Deanne McCormick, Ruth Posh, Gail Sawyer, Justin Stevens, Gwen Tisdale, Nancy Wing, and all of our special musicians, the Mayflower Choir, and once again for our special music on Friday night, Barb and Jerry Fuller, Aaron Fuller, Marcia Hacker, Justin Stevens, and anybody I left out. So if you're on that list, I want you to just stand. Just stand up. Choir, you're part of it. All right, now for everyone else, there we go. Yeah. What's that?
I wasn't on the list.
Did I not say Jen Hall? Oh my goodness. I tell you what, I'm in trouble now, folks. But Jen was a big part of it. You saw her before anyone else. All right, you may be seated. Thank you so much. See, I told you I'd take the risk. But Jen, I'm glad it was the kindest person in our church because, thank you. Well, the weekend is not over. Today is Consecration Sunday here at Mayflower, and we will celebrate together following the service in the Friendship Center. There are several people who have volunteered to provide food, and we expect that you will not disappoint us by not coming to eat it. So you don't have to have any food in order for you to consume the food because it's not good to throw away food, folks. So we expect that if you're here and you're able and you have an appetite, or even if you don't have an appetite, that you will come and join us in the Friendship Center. Everyone is invited to celebrate the success of the conference this weekend. We will celebrate what God has done in the past, is doing now, and will do in the future through the ministry of the Mayflower Church, and to celebrate and welcome our special guest, Dr. Ashley Clear, who is the executive director of our national association. It is our privilege to have her, and she will be introduced a little later in the service as she will speak. Don't forget our continuing efforts to alleviate hunger, both locally and worldwide, through the auspices of Church World Service. And we are also aggressively promoting a generous response for the One Great Hour of Sharing, which is sponsored by a national association. This offering will be collected through November 6th and will be used for direct relief for the many victims of the hurricanes which have struck Puerto Rico and Florida. For more details on that and where that money will be going specifically, Lorraine has left some very good notes in the e-notes, so consult those. For those of you who are willing and able, this is such an important way to demonstrate our Christian compassion and help so many that are in need. Now today I would like to acknowledge and welcome Reverend Ed Milam and his wife in the service today. Ed is recently called to be the pastor of the First Congregational Church of Greenville, Michigan, and he was here for this weekend. His installation service will be held on November 13th at the Greenville Congregational Church. I think it's called First Congregational in Greenville, is that right? And that'll happen at 4 o'clock on November 13th. So, and your wife's name, first name?
Jen.
Jen?
Yeah, yeah.
We got a lot of Jens here today. We're just full of Jens. And let me tell you, that's a good thing. So we appreciate it. They took, they're really not playing hooky. They planned this and they're here. And he told me yesterday that he would join us for the service. Now, our worship theme today is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and verses 16 through 18, and is entitled, as you may have seen on the sign or in the bulletin, with a question, Faith as a Fight? Let us now worship God.
scattered and grown, gathered to one for all. One bread, one body, one Lord of all.
Thank you, Jen and Jen. That was gorgeous. Good morning, Mayflower family and friends.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a very special day here at Mayflower. We call it Consecration Sunday, when we dedicate and rededicate ourselves to the work we have been called to do, to love and to serve with our time, our talents, our resources, and our very selves. Today we will be hearing from the last of the stories which have been so beautifully shared this month, this one by Mariana Foster. Another special part of this day is the presence of our Executive Director of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. Welcome, Dr. Cleary. We look forward to hearing from you a little later in the service. So sit back and lift your hearts toward God as we join our hearts, our minds, and our voices in the worship of our holy God. May we consecrate our entire beings as we fight the good fight, run the race, and contend for the faith which, with love and compassion in the service of Christ. Thanks be to God.
My God,
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, it was good when someone said, "Let's go to church today." It is good to be with our brothers and sisters in the beloved community, and it is good to invite others to join us in the journey. We thank you for the blessings we enjoy within the beloved community, where we can experience a safe place to share our deepest woes and our highest joys. Thank you for the inspiration we receive from God when we worship together. So we ask you to bless the music and musicians, enlighten us with scripture, and speak to us in the spoken words of Mariana, Dr. Clear, and Pastor Mark. May the Spirit of Christ permeate all we do in our worship, and may it stay with us as we leave to love, share, and give as Christ has given to us. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good morning, Mayfeller friends.
Good morning.
Having been a Congregationalist in my entire life, starting with the vague recollection of being in the crib room and waiting for my mother to reappear at the door, or my baptism in the chapel when I was 7 years old, which I do remember well, I guess I can say that I have known nothing but Congregationalism. Age tells me it's a good thing. The congregational way and my way of thinking is that we truly feel we can choose to be followers of Jesus with scriptures to guide us so we continue to grow all our lives in our relationship with God. Coming to Mayflower just 9 months ago, I can say I'm very aware of the genuine need of this congregation to take care of each other and care for those outside our circle. We do this through our participation in the Advent House, preparing the meal for the City Rescue Mission that feeds over 200 people that day, crop walk, and being part of a greater neighborhood of the church with hosting and supporting the Neighborhood Association. And I know the list goes on. When you are called to help, be it for school supplies, outerwear, and most recently, socks and belts for the neighboring schools, your generosity is overwhelming. The love here shows. All this makes it very easy to commit my time, talent, and resources in my own personal quest to be part of the Christian way. In this journey, only joy comes from being part of a community of faith that thrives to do better and more. All this comes with a price, and the price is very reasonable. The payoff is tenfold. Mayflower absolutely knows how to be a real community of faith, and thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Thank you, Mariana.
And now we have a surprise. We have a surprise announcement. I'm going to ask our lay leader, Ruth Posh, to come forward. And she has a very important announcement that she is going to make. And I want all of you to listen very carefully.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you, and I'm glad to be here. I'm going to start out by tying on to Lorraine's prayer about being safe when we're here in this church. And I'm going to hark back to months ago, the Prudential Council began to discuss installing a ramp within our sanctuary for those that need assistance in getting about. And so discussion went on for a long time, and finally Jerry Fuller stepped up and said that he would spearhead such an investigation as to, was it possible, what would it cost? And so he's been working on that. He contacted an architect and been working with her. Her name is Mary Swanson. You will meet her 2 weeks from today. She's going to appear here and show us architectural drawings of how it is possible to install a ramp here. I want to add a personal note. Yesterday in the conference, I happened to exit the sanctuary following a woman that had trouble walking, and she was good. She used the handrail, but she could only take one step at a time and then follow with that foot, and then the next step and follow with the next foot. So it really drilled home to me that this is something that would be very, very beneficial. We have people now that come in wheelchairs, crutches, or not crutches, but canes and walkers. And who knows but what I may be there soon myself. So, and we all may be. So this is just for information. I'm encouraging you to be sure to come a couple weeks from today and learn more about this. So see you then.
And that will occur immediately after the service on November 6th. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
A lot of different things going on. What can I say? God has been so faithful in the past, and God is faithful to us right now as we plot the continued ministry of the Mayflower Congregational Church for the coming year. And it is exciting for me as a pastor to witness the faithfulness of God so magnificently represented in the faithfulness of God's people. So let us now worship God through the giving of our time, talents, resources, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Word of instruction here is in order because our order is a little different today because of Consecration Sunday. As you know, it is now not now our tradition to pass the plates every Sunday, but we know that you have that in your hearts, however it is that you're able to give, whether it's in a resource or whether your time, talents, and other things play in, which are so very much a part of that. So you all have received a commitment card, and that commitment card will be, some of you have already turned it in, some of you have it now, some of you may have forgotten or not prepared. Whatever the case is, there is also a space on there on that commitment card to indicate if you cannot make a pledge, and that's okay, then you can pledge your time and your talents in any other way that God would lead you so that we can all share together on this day our commitments in every way possible to God through the ministry of our church. So following the service, if you have that card or a part of your offering today, there will be a place here you can deposit it on your way to the Friendship Center or out the outside. And today is a beautiful day, so there won't be any problem using the outdoor ramp. And then we'll fellowship together in the Friendship Center. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, as a pastor, I admit that when it comes to our time of prayer, it is difficult to find a balance between the massive suffering of so many around the world and the very important needs represented by those within our circle of love and care, which are many. But dear Lord, I'll give it a try. Be with those folks who are past the worst of the trauma but are now left with the responsibility and daunting task of dealing with their loss, then having to rebuild their lives and communities in the wake of Hurricanes Fiona and Ian. Some of them are just trying to survive. So along with our prayers, we pray that you would bless and multiply our gifts of love and compassion. Help us not to forget those who have responded and committed so much of their time and resources to bring relief and help. We join in that effort today and always. Be with the millions of displaced refugees as the result of famine, drought, politics, hatred, war, and apathy. Keep us from apathy, especially when we think there is nothing we can do about it. Be especially near to those who are displaced as a result of the ruthless attack on the beloved peoples of Ukraine. Continue to bless and multiply our gifts of sacrifice, compassion, and love. And among the many other needs we could mention today, we turn our attention to those who are on our prayer list, like those who have recently suffered loss. We pray for Rilla, for Chris, and the family members of Ruth Berry and others. We pray for Judy Braska as her condition has worsened. And we pray for Bernie, for Ted, Steve, Jane, Gordon, James, Jerry, Lionel, Betty, Carl, Sheila, Mike, and others upon our hearts that we mention now out loud by first name. Lord, hear our prayers. And hear the one we pray together that never gets old as we join with each other to ask for your divine perspective. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes. Thank you. Like I say, things are a little different today. And one of the great differences is our guest today that I've already mentioned. And I would like to mention the fact that Dr. Ashley Clear has come not because she was demanded or obligated to come, but on her own free will, she responded to the invitation not only to be here for our Michigan conference this past weekend, and trust me, she was a great blessing. She has agreed to come here and share with us on Sunday morning, so I have asked her, thank you, Lorraine, for Ashley to bring a word or two or more. It's up to her how much blessing she brings to us as a result of her position that she's had now for a year and a half as our executive director of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. And I'm proud to introduce Ashley, who is my friend.
Thank you, Mark. It's always risky to ask a minister to give her an unlimited number of words.
you're total freedom, Ashley.
All right. So, what time's dinner? I'm honored to be here and have been honored to spend the weekend here seeing Mayflower Congregational Church in action, extending hospitality to the church's from all over Michigan and reflecting the hospitality that you extend throughout the year. I heard that in the stewardship moment reflection and saw it as we shared the same meal that you offer to the refugee community. Thank you for being a member church of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches since 1994. Thank you for being a strong, positive voice of the Congregational Way here in Lansing for, it'll be 120 years in March, I think. Thank you so much for all that you are, for who you are. And you are also, you may not have known this, but number 22 on the listening tour. As I began my second year in this role as executive director of the National Association, I thought it would be helpful to go out into the churches to see who you are, where you are, and when you are, and when is a really significant moment in the history of the world and therefore in the association. So we have 313 member churches in 36 states. We added another church on Tuesday. So we are continuing to grow and evolve as an association since our founding in 1955. Among those 313 churches are 28,329 individuals, and we are grateful for all of them and the stories that they bring, and that's part of why I'm trying to go out and meet everybody, as many as are possible, and I look forward to sharing with you in your meal today, and really spending 3 days with you is a true acquaintance, truly helped me to get acquainted with you as a congregation as well as several of you as individuals. It has been said that to know one National Association Congregational Church is to know just one, because each one is unique. And I'm honored by the unique gifts that you bring, the stories that you share, the ways in which you relate to other churches in the community and around the state, around the nation, and around the world. I have gratitude to my friend, your pastor Mark, for all that he has done to champion the listening tour and for his earnest devotion to the Congregational Way and the wonderful stories he's told me about your life together as a pastor and a congregation. As we look ahead to our annual meeting and conference in June, just across the lake in Milwaukee, we'd love to have you some of you attend in person as well as virtually. The theme is the daring endeavor of being church. The daring endeavor of being church, and that is what you have shown already, how daring you are to open your doors, to continue to carve out new understandings, to put a big old sign on the street that says, we're a congregational church and we welcome you. Thank you so much for all of the ways that you express enthusiasm, for hosting me this weekend, and for continuing to further congregationalism here in Lansing and the ways that it reverberates throughout the country. Thank you so much for your welcome and for all that you do and for who you are, where you are, and when you are.
That was short and sweet and hard to beat.
Today's New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and verses 16 through 18. In other verses of Scripture, we are told that faith is a free gift from God. However, in today's lectionary passage from 2 Timothy, we are told that it is a fight and a race to run. What's up with that? Let's find out together as we explore, examine, and think. So hear now these words. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue from every evil attack and give me and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. During this month of October, you have heard from four people who have shared what the Mayflower Church means to them. You've heard from Meredith Kennedy and then Sue Baldwin. Last week, we heard from Jerry Fuller. Today, it was Mariana Foster. I would like to personally thank each one of them for speaking and adding such a delightful dimension to our worship services this month. As Dr. Clear was saying, it's so good to hear the stories, and there are many more to come. Now, we try not to pull very hard on your purse strings during consecration month, but we admit that we want to pull on your heartstrings as we think about how we want to take our church to people in our neighborhood, in our community, and into our world. We do, without shame, solicit your help in our dreaming, planning, and then working toward the goals that we believe with all of our hearts that God has given us here at Mayflower. You heard about one of those goals today as we seek to make our building more user-friendly for all of us, especially including those who are mobility challenged. If we allow it, I believe, oh God, God will pull all of our heartstrings in one direction. And when that happens, it means that our relationship of love is strong. From the moment I laid eyes on Deanne, my heartstrings were toast. And after 11 years, they still are. So you know what I mean when I'm talking about heartstrings. Most of us have already decided what part of our resources we are going to consecrate directly to the life and ministry of Mayflower Church for the coming year. So this sermon is not designed to squeeze a few more dollars out of you. Rather, it is the continual effort to assist all of us on our journey of faith and to help us lead lives of consecration to God in every arena of life, including the beloved community. Thanks be to God, and thanks to each one of you in advance for your anticipated generous response, whether that involves a financial commitment or not. We are going to achieve even greater things in 2023 as we respond to God's call to love and to serve. So let me move now to the theme of the day and to the lectionary text that is always so beautifully read. Faith itself is a free gift from God which activates grace for salvation and motivates us to live a life worthy of our calling. It is a living faith because faith without works is dead, says James. Dead faith is worthless to anyone who might want to measure its effects. So why does the writer here describe faith as a fight? This letter, along with 1 Timothy and the book of Titus, are known as the pastoral letters, written to encourage young pastors or maybe a particular pastor whose name was Timothy, as well as some fledgling churches near and dear to Paul's heart that were struggling to find their way. and to find what it means to be a church, and that process always continues. They were likely written after the death of the towering figure of the early church by someone who assumed Paul's name and was familiar with Paul's imprisonment near the end of his life, when Paul was actually looking forward to his death. The perspective is that of Paul looking back over his amazing life, filled with every imaginable reason to give up on his faith. And here's some of the reasons. He was beaten, as we're told, by a letter from Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was beaten with a rod 3 times, whipped 40 times, perhaps with a leather strap that left 40 welts, permanent welts, likely on his back. He was stoned, was in a shipwreck 3 times, spent a night and a day on the water hoping for rescue, forded dangerous rivers, was threatened by bandits, and was also threatened by his own people as well as the Gentiles. Experienced trouble in the cities and trouble in the wilderness, had many sleepless nights, was thirsty, cold, and hungry, all the while giving care and guidance to young churches. After reading this, I promise never to complain about anything in my role. For Paul, he had to fight just to stay alive. But as he looks back, we are given some other hints as to why and how Paul uses the fight terminology to describe his faith. And there are some strong hints in this text. First of all, and this may be a little bit different way of looking at this, but there are some things we will always have to fight against. And the Apostle Paul was no different than any of us. The first is the tendency we all have to reduce life to a system of paybacks and reward. The idea is embedded deep within our social sensibilities, and if you're a parent or grandparent, you see that evolve very much at a young age. And it's reinforced by a seemingly innate sense of fairness and justice. And one of the things that happens if you've been around little kids, they'll always tell you, that's not fair, because we tend to believe that some actions deserve reward while others bring retribution. Many of us, especially church people, have been schooled to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ to obliterate that concept. Jesus, who died on our behalf, has removed our penalty of death, which is what we would have deserved, right? We have been given the free gift of grace and forgiveness offered without condition. But much of the Bible doesn't see it that way. And one of the greatest defenders of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, lets his guard down here a little bit. There are some verses left out, as often happens in the lectionary. You'd have to go to your pew Bible to find this, unless you have it by memory, and this is not a very memorable passage. But the verses 9 to 15, the ones left out, give us a little hint about something Paul was struggling with and perhaps fighting against. Paul describes his feelings towards someone known as Alexander, who was a coppersmith, who did him great harm by publicly opposing him, the text reveals. Paul says that the Lord will pay Alexander back for his deeds. Paul's tune is somewhat changed in what was read this morning when he forgives those who did not come to his aid during his first imprisonment. This contrast illustrates the paradox of life and the paradox of faith. Do we want God to hold everyone who harms us responsible for their actions? Or do we desire that someone else would benefit because of our forgiveness, or indeed God's forgiveness? If that isn't a paradox, you probably haven't lived. We know where we need to be on this one, but it's not easy, and neither was it for Paul. We have to fight the urge to think that God's sense of justice will come in the ways we think it should. When we talk about payback, we must also include Paul's reference to reward as well as punishment. Paul's description of what we all hope for in faith at the end of life, and by the way, this is not a funeral. This is a day of happiness and celebration. But he describes what we all might hope for, or Paul was hoping for, and that was a crown of righteousness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. No, I try to always to be honest with you. It's like I was dishonest last week for some reason. Yeah. I'm not sure if I want a crown as a reward for that which I may not have deserved. What about you? At the end of life, whenever that will be, I want to be united with Christ and with all those in the great cloud of witnesses that have meant a lot to me in my life. But in another paradox of Scripture, I prefer the scriptural image of a banquet hall where a feast has been prepared, maybe somewhat like we're going to have today, rather than the scriptural image of a judge wearing a robe similar to the ones Ashley and I have worn today and making the announcement concerning my worthiness to get a reward. I can only hope that judge will offer me a great degree of leniency. It is much easier to accept a free gift from God than to think I have done anything to receive a reward. The contrast of biblical images and concepts is a great paradox, but for me, and I hope for you, it is a hopeful and healthy paradox. Remember, the Apostle Paul often described faith as a mystery. Another paradox is the fight against the most negative aspect or aspects of our personalities. What are the personality traits that bug the person who lives with you or lives nearby that annoy them the most? Any thoughts on that? Please don't ask my wife about that. I admit, sometimes I can be annoying. Am I doing any better? Paul was an amazing man, a most eloquent writer of Scripture, a powerful and most persuasive preacher, but he did have some annoying personality traits. Paul was a deeply conflicted man, as we read in the 7th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, when he shares an aspect of his inner conflicts. Verse 15 of that chapter, there is a perfect description of a conflicted person when he writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate." We all can identify with that. Later in the same chapter, he writes, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Paul was obviously a driven man and also had trouble getting along with others, even those who had partnered with him in the gospel. Read the book of Acts. The other areas of the paradox in the written word of Scripture concerning Paul. He was a product of his own time, but it does not fully explain why he gives tacit approval to the concept of slavery, and often expects women to submit themselves to their husband without qualification and limit their participation in the life of the church. Paul never married, yet does not hold back in the advice he gives about marriage, and he has no personal experience. What's up with that? I've always had trouble with that with Apostle Paul. We don't think he was married. In fact, we're pretty sure he wasn't. You don't want an unmarried person giving you advice on your marriage, do you? Neither do I, but Paul did. Just being honest about it, folks. So, even in the reading of most holy Scripture, we must fight the urge to take everything literally without regard for the discernment we need as we ask God, ask for the Spirit of God to give us understanding as we search, explore, examine, and consider Holy Writ. Fortunately, but with a paradox, It is the same Apostle Paul who writes concerning the antidote for some of these matters when he shares an image of deliverance and rescue from what our text this morning called the lion's mouth, when he confidently declares, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom." That sounds like grace, doesn't it? Considering his conflicted personality, Paul asks the questions, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he says again confidently, "Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord." And in spite of what we read about slavery and the role of women, Paul writes in Galatians, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. And there is no longer male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus." I like that verse. There are many things we have to fight against, and God is faithful to us in that fight. But there are also things we don't only fight against, but we have to fight for. In this passage, Paul says that he has fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. It is not faith itself we fight for. God has given that to us as a free gift. But we must contend and fight for the faith. The faith has been given to us and has been fought for through the ages. The church and the faith has been preserved in spite of opposition, persecution, and apathy. The best weapons have never nor ever will be guns or swords. But with determination, courage, and perseverance of people like you. 30 years ago, as Jerry described last week, this church had about 25 people or so who were fighting for survival. In another church that was having difficulty at that time, 60 or 70 people showed up here at Mayflower, and there's no other way to put it, they saved the day for the Mayflower Church. The future of the Mayflower Church was changed forever. Individual congregations will sometimes falter and fail. People will fail us, as we have seen with one of the greatest apostles ever, the Apostle Paul. But when we fight against the urge to take justice into our own hands, God will be faithful. God is faithful. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus reminded Peter and all of us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And with people like you and others who will join us in the beloved community, we will not only survive, but we will thrive. So again, thank you, Mayflower, and thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite Dr. Ashley Clear to give us our prayer of consecration and dedication.
Let us unite our hearts and minds in prayer. Marvelous God, who is the creator of all that is, and extends to us the open-ended invitation to join you in the work of recreating the world each and every day. With gratitude for the generations who have gathered as Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, this is not the culmination of their journey, but a continuation of their efforts. We ask your blessing upon the time, talent, or treasure that each person in this house and so many others offer to the future of Mayflower Congregational Church. May the stories they bring, the skills they have to contribute, fulfill the promise and potential not only for this congregation, but for the individuals who share in the life of this church as members of the body of Christ, and also the promise and potential of Lansing, Michigan, the Congregational Way, and the world entrusted to our care. May the gifts they offer be dedicated this morning and be rededicated each and every day as they walk in faith, trusting in you and blessed by the companionship of one another. May whatever offerings they bring be transformed by your divine grace, so that these tangible, material, worldly treasures will bring glory to you and become sacred through the love that blesses them and unites all of us in faith. O God, guide us that we each might fight the good fight, and know that we are strengthened by one another, and that our strength comes from you. Help us, God, all of us, each of us, to be trustworthy, visionary, and strong in the faith. All this we ask, trusting in your grace, in the name of Christ. Amen.
So we're going to do what we usually do, except we'll do it triumphantly as we pass through here on our way to the Friendship Center, but you can spend some time visiting here, and the visitation and fellowship will continue in the Friendship Center. So, let us now go in the full knowledge and assurance that with God's help, we will fight the good fight for the love that God offers us. The peace which Christ made, and the fellowship that exists because of the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Ashley and I are going to go back to the back of the sanctuary so nobody can get out. And then we can join. Of course, if you need to go, we understand, but there's some food waiting for you. Amen.